Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
The Old Testament reading comes from the book of Isaiah, chapters 52 and 53. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up, and shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him. For that which has not been told them they see, and that which they have not heard they understand. Who has believed what they heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked and with the rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death, and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many, and makes intercession for the transgressors. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Merciful and everlasting God, you did not spare your only Son, but delivered him up for us all to bear our sins on the cross. Grant that our hearts may be so fixed with steadfast faith in him that we fear not the power of sin, death, and the devil, through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our epistle reading comes from the book of Hebrews. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you willed that your Son should bear for us the pains of the cross and so remove from us the power of the adversary. Help us so to remember and give thanks for our Lord's passion, that we may receive forgiveness of sin and redemption from everlasting death, through Jesus Christ our Lord. The betrayal and arrest of Jesus from John chapter 18. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas, having procured a band of soldiers and some officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, went there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that would happen to him, came forward and said to them, "Whom do you seek?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When Jesus said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. So he asked them again, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. So if you seek me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken, "Of those whom you gave me, I have lost not one." Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword in its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me?"
Thank you.
thus before the high priest and the denial of Peter, continuing in John chapter 18. So the band of soldiers and their captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. First they led him to Annas, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had advised the Jews that it would be expedient that one man should die for the people. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he entered with Jesus into the court of the high priest, but Peter stood outside at the door. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the servant girl who kept watch at the door and brought Peter in. The servant girl at the door said to Peter, "You also are not one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the servants and officers had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing and warming themselves. Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself. The high priest then questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. Jesus answered him, "I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in synagogues and in the temple where all Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. They know what I said." When he had said these things, one of the officers standing by struck Jesus with his hand, saying, "Is that how you answer the high priest?" Jesus answered him, "If what I said is wrong, bear witness about the wrong. But if what I said is right, why do you strike me?" Annas then sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself, so they said to him, "You also are not one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter again denied it, and at once a rooster crowed. Continue in the Gospel of John, Jesus before Pilate. Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters so that they would not be defiled but could eat the Passover. So Pilate went outside to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered him, "If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." The Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting, that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world. Then Pilate said to him, So you are a king. Jesus answered, You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Pilate said to him, What is truth? After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, I find no guilt in him. But you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews? They cried out again, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Continue in the Gospel of John, Jesus prepared for crucifixion. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him, and the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him saying, Hail, King of the Jews, and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, See, I am bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no guilt in him. So Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, Behold the man. When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, Crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate said to them, Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die because he has made himself the Son of God. When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, Where are you from? But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, You will not speak to me? Do you know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you? Jesus answered him, You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin. From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar. So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the Stone Pavement, and in Aramaic, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, Behold your king! They cried out, Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! Pilate said to them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, We have no king but Caesar. So he delivered him over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus. crucifixion of Jesus. So he delivered him over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of a skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with two others, one on either side and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write, 'The King of the Jews,' but rather, 'This man said, I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one place from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things. Continuing in John chapter 19, Jesus' mother and his death. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
Oh.
since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled, not one of his bones will be broken. And again, another scripture says, they will look on him whom they have pierced. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you that you have seen to our salvation through the death of your only Son, that we might be free, that we might be forgiven, and that we might be restored. We thank you, Father, for that gift of the Lamb of God that came to take away the sin of the world. Strengthen us now in the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. If we were to look to try to find the exact place and moment in time where mankind, where we received our forgiveness, it would be here. It would be Good Friday. It would be there on the cross with Jesus hanging, giving up his life willingly for you, out of his great love for you. Many think the joyfulness of Easter morning, that's where we should look. The empty tomb, the empty cross, the joy of Easter and all of the alleluias back, that's where we should focus. But that great Sunday morning, that great resurrection morning, is a result of this day. A result of what we see as grief and sorrow. From the time sin came into the world, God has been pointing us here, to Jesus, to Good Friday, to his cross. From the time that Adam and Eve sinned, and covered themselves in vegetation. And God brought forward skins from animals. He's showing us that it will take the shedding of blood for the forgiveness of sins. When Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac, God provided a ram that was caught there in the thorns. And that was directing us to today. Isaac's question, Abraham's answer, directs us exactly right here to the cross of Christ this day for us. God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. He did. The lamb that comes to take away the sin of the world. You see it on the banners. God provided the lamb that would take away our sin. The lamb that would give up his life willingly, lovingly for you. The Passover, where the perfect lamb was sacrificed, where its blood was smeared across the door, caused the angel of death to pass over to protect God's faithful people. That was fulfilled when our sin was atoned for by Jesus. Now, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is nothing that the angel of death can find in any of those covered by Christ's blood that he can damn and send to hell, because our sins have been covered by the Lamb's blood. When God was with his people in the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, he was pointing us to this day that God is always with us. A few months ago, we were hearing the word Emmanuel. God is with us. And he is. Emmanuel is here with his people, offering his life as a perfect sacrifice for you so that you will not die but yet live with him. When we walk slowly through the last hours of Jesus' life, as we did tonight, we can be overcome by the grief and the sorrow and all the things that have gone on. We see the pain that Jesus was willing to go through for us so that we would be forgiven. Remember, Good Friday is not about feeling bad for Jesus. It's not about feeling bad about how much he suffered and how much he endured. Good Friday is not about guilting you into doing better because Jesus did this for you. Good Friday is the reality that you are loved with an everlasting love. That you are loved so much that God would sacrifice his own son for you so that you would be free and forgiven. Good Friday is John 3:16 and 17 played out for us in graphic detail on the cross. For God so loved you that he gave his only son, that he would die on the cross for you. For God didn't send his son into the world to damn you, but to take your punishment upon himself so that you would be free and forgiven and live with him in peace. God didn't send his son into the world to damn the world, but to be damned for the world so that we would be free. When we see the scandal of the cross unfolding, we get caught up in the pain and the suffering that Jesus endured. Believe me, I'm not trying to make light of what our Savior went through that night and that day as he gave up his life. To the Roman guards that were there, Jesus was just another perp. Just someone they had to deal with, just another part of their day. And you can see by the way that they treated him. They didn't care about his life. They didn't care about his death. They didn't care about him at all. It was just a job, just something that needed to be done. Seeing the length that the keepers of the law, the Pharisees and the chief priests would go through, to see that Jesus' life was ended gives us a clear view of what sin does when it's threatened. It will kill, it will take away, it will destroy, it will do whatever it needs to do to make sure that our sin still remains. The crowds, they were gathered around. An opportunity was given for them to release Jesus, and their sin shows forward. Crucify him! Crucify him! And the crowds echoed that every time Pilate tried to release Jesus. Every time we hurt someone by our sinfulness, every time they hurt us, we want to echo that same thing. Crucify them! Crucify them! When we've been treated unjustly, we want revenge. When someone has hurt us, we want to make it somebody else's fault. Or when I'm accused and caught, I want to make sure that I can shift the blame to someone else. We are no better than the chief priests and the Pharisees. Our sin betrays us. Our Savior does not. He goes to the cross for us. Gives his life that you would be forgiven. Jesus, on the other hand, when we look at the events played out before him and how the crowds didn't care, how they sought to take his life, how the guards were just looking to do their job and end him, Jesus never spoke a word as the trial went on. As the false charges mounted against him, he didn't say a word. He didn't open his mouth. He was focused there on the cross, so that he might give his life for us. The crowds, the thieves on the cross, the soldiers that were pinning Jesus' holy flesh to the cross, they were mocking Jesus, and Jesus prays, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Because his eyes were focused on the cross. His eyes were focused on salvation being won as he becomes the total and complete sacrifice for all mankind. Instead of laying the blame on the Romans or the Jews, or even on us for that matter, Jesus says this, My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but not as I will, but as you will. As we contemplate the pain, the death, the suffering, the injustice of Good Friday, Jesus saw it as a way to bring freedom for you. The cross before him and his death was not a victory triumphed by evil men. It was God keeping his promise to bring a Savior into the world, to stop what started in the Garden of Eden. Jesus' salvation sacrifice was to heal, to give peace and hope, and most importantly, to fulfill all of the commands of the law of God. And once that's fulfilled, to give it to you as a salvation blanket to cover you from all of the attacks of the evil one. Knowing everything that happened on that day, don't forget what the writer of the Hebrews writes. He says this, Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. Amid all of the suffering, amid the death that is before Jesus, there was joy. Can you imagine that? The best comparison that I can come up with is that of a pregnant mother. She's going to give birth, but she knows what that means. Pain and suffering and trial and temptation. And then the baby is born. And she holds her son or her daughter in her arms. And now she can lavish all of her love on this child. That's Jesus on Good Friday. Jesus giving his life for us, enduring the cross, looking ahead to the cross and seeing joy for us. As we see his sacrifice, the joy that endured the cross, despising the shame, so he could eternally love us. The joy would be Jesus crushing Satan's head as the nail comes through his feet. The joy would be our death because of our sin in thought, word, and deed, would be dying with Jesus, and it would stay there in the empty tomb. The joy would be completely Jesus being completely obedient to his Father, keeping his promise to God, and God keeping his promise to you to bring salvation. The joy would be his last word, tetelestai. It's finished. Salvation is fully and freely given to all mankind today. Every time your pastor pronounces to you, you're forgiven. Every time you forgive your neighbor, you get a glimpse of the joy of this day. Good Friday is not a day to guilt you into repentance. It's to help you see and realize the complete love that Jesus has for you. That he would give his life in such a gruesome way and yet see joy because he knows what that means. That you're forgiven. That you're at peace. That you will be with him in paradise. He did that to give us a hope that we could never find on our own. He did that to give us his promise, his love, and his peace. It's finished. You're forgiven. In the name of Jesus, amen.